Well, welcome to another episode of On the Couch with myself, Henry Jennings. And today, the Marcus Today podcast team is joined by someone who's probably very familiar to an awful lot of you, Tom Waterhouse, from a very esteemed racing family, four generations of bookmakers. So it's certainly, I'm really lucky to be talking to Tom. He is an absolute expert on gambling, horse racing, etc. And not only that, he has a venture capital fund, which I'm really dying to talk to Tom about. So it's going to be a great podcast. I hope you all enjoy it and get something out of it, and maybe even get an insight into the world of gambling at the moment and what's happening. I guess AI is certainly something there. Of course, Tom has an esteemed history in horse racing. His mum, Gay Waterhouse, we were just chatting off air. His mum actually was quite a well-known actress in the UK and here as well back in the 70s, and was even a Time Lord in a Doctor Who episode. It doesn't get much better than that, does it? I have a friend, actually, Tom, that wrote the theme music for the Doctor Who series with Sylvester McCoy in it, and he still gets lots of fan mail from people, and lots of hate mail as well for people, that because he rearranged the signature tune for that particular series. So it's interesting what you discover along the way. So welcome, Tom. Really looking forward to our chat today. It's going to be great, I'm sure.
Thanks, Henry. Yeah, great to be great to be on the show.
And just for all those members that are listening, all those people that are listening out there, just remember, this is general advice only. So please do your own research. Contact your own financial advisor regarding any of the thoughts, ideas, or insights in this podcast. So, Tom, first of all, let's talk about Waterhouse VC, Waterhouse Venture Capitals. I was just looking and reading through the January, February, and March updates in the market on your fund, and it's only been going since 2019, I believe, but the results have been quite astonishing in terms of the fund's performance. Can you talk me through, I guess, what the Waterhouse VC does and how it achieves these astonishing results?
Well, we've had a great first 5 years of the fund. We've compounded at 100% per annum year on year. We've 29 times our investors' money. And really, there's three elements to it. And the first element is how we've got the real outperformance to the market. Just as a bit of background, the family obviously has been involved in gambling for over 100 years. My great-grandfather was a bookie in the 1890s. Grandfather was a bookie. My dad was a bookie. I was a on-course bookie till 2008. And then the advertising landscape changed in Australia that allowed online betting to be advertised. And so started TomWaterhouse.com. It grew rapidly, and we sold it in 2013 to William Hill, who bought SportingBet, CentreBet, and our business is a $700 million roll-up. We were a very small add-on as part of that acquisition. But I was CEO of that business for 4 years, 2014 to 2018. And then that was sold in the PokerStars, CrownBet, Flutter roll-up in 2018. And I had a two-year non-compete. And the area that I thought there was an edge to look at was the supply side of the gambling industry, because I thought that the likes of Tabcorp or Ladbrokes or William Hill, they were quite similar in that they all had their turnover, gross win, their taxes, their tech costs, marketing costs, headcount costs. And whether one was valued at 8 times earnings or 12 times earnings or 15 times earnings, an analyst could probably assess far better than I could. But all of these businesses, they owned the brand, they owned the database, and they controlled the marketing spend. But a lot of the underlying tech was third party, and they were trying to differentiate, especially since marketing shifted to more digital, they were trying to differentiate on the product and user experience, and that the products coming into their basically ecosystem were becoming more and more important. So we started the fund in 2019 and we had 170 developers in Sydney with William Hill, another 100 in the Philippines. Got a handful of the best developers that I could find in the market and basically said, look, let's go and look at the underlying tech in the gambling industry. And that's what we're focused on. And that's pillar one of our fund. We focus on supply. So it might be anything from a supplier of odds data of what are the odds for the next race at Randwick or Flemington. It might be a provider that provides the vision. It might be a mobile app developer, a platform, or like one of the betting platforms that they use, a third-party tech. It might be an esports data provider. We're in a voice betting solution where you can say the bet rather than go to a website, it might be a text messaging solution, anything that provides a service to the likes of large companies like Tabcorp or Caesars or MGM and so on. So we focus on that area where we feel we have a unique understanding and skill set. And we what we do is we go and find these businesses and we typically buy options in them. So we buy an option at an agreed strike price today, which has got a three-year time frame to buy 20% of their businesses. And we typically find businesses that are suppliers with one or maybe two contracts in one region where we think that they can scale and go into far more operators in other places. So it might be an operator in Eastern Europe. For instance, we've got an option in a business that's based in Prague that supplies esports odds, esports data. So we have an option in that. We think that that product can go into the US market because it's a product filler as NBA, NFL, and baseball only have a certain portion of the season. And they need product fillers, whether it's they might need horse racing or we thought they may need esports. So we identify what are the best esports data providers, why have they got unique technology, why have they got unique models, have they got agreements with all the esports leagues. We then go and spend some time with them in Prague. Our tech team analyzes their tech and their models. And then we see if we can get an option and buy an option at a price that we think is attractive today and have that three-year time frame. And so that's pillar one of the fund. That's where we've got all our outperformance because we've had over the last 5 years, three significant option deals come off. And then pillar two is we distribute all of our gains every year to our investors. And we've found over the last 5 years, they've put the distribution or a large chunk of distributions back into the fund. So we sit in cash. And what we've done with that cash is we've deployed it because we don't need to utilize the cash unless we're executing the option. Is that we have put that into what we call it's an equity strategy following the world's best performing long-only funds, their 13F filings. So we put three proprietary screens on those 13F filings and we then evenly weight across those equities. Our average market cap of our equities is $60 billion. Our average PE ratio is 13 times. Our Sharpe ratio is 1.07. Our medium growth rate of those companies is 27%. So we're in what we think are low PE companies, like trading at 13 times, when the S&P is trading at, let's say, 23 times, historical average 15 times. We're in ultra-conservative companies that still are relatively high growth, and we've outperformed since we started that strategy, that 13F strategy has outperformed the S&P by 3%. So we've done that without holding the Magnificent Seven. For instance, we don't have NVIDIA or Amazon. We've been able to outperform. Basically, that's our pillar two of the strategy, where most of our funds are in those large cap US equities. And then the third pillar of our fund, of how we've got outperformance, is one of our options came off, is that we identified what we believe is the world's leading tennis betting syndicate. Very few people that win at betting. It's very hard to win because you might have an edge betting on the Roosters this weekend to beat the Raiders. But if you have an edge in that one game, it's fine if you have one bet. But most people bet regularly because they like use it as an entertainment. And you've got the bookies margin against you, the house edge against you. So if you're betting regularly, you've constantly got margin against you, which makes it very hard to win. But there's a few supergroups around the world that have built huge statistical models and worked out factors in the market that are able to predict the true probability or a truer probability than the bookmakers. So if you're betting against a casino game, there's automatically house edge against you. It's proven house edge. But in sports or racing, the bookies actually don't know the true probability of a particular team or a particular horse to win. They just put up a market and make sure there's enough margin in there that they have inbuilt margin. But the true probability is not known. So there's a few groups around the world that win hundreds of millions of dollars a year betting on soccer, racing, other sports, and built models similar to probably like Renaissance Technology, Jim Simmons, these type of people that have done on the financial markets. And they've won huge amounts. They're very hard to buy into because they're highly cash generative. And we find the only time to be able to take an investment in these type of businesses are either when they're at the very beginning and they haven't established global banking, global distribution, or global ability to get on in different markets and rebate deals with all the totes, or when they're at the very end of their life cycle and looking for an exit and they don't have a family member or someone else to pass it on to. So we identified what we believed is one of the world's best, if not the best, tennis syndicate, a young guy. He worked for Tony Bloom, who's the world's best soccer punter, or better. Tony Bloom obviously owns Brighton Football Club, got an MBE from King Charles earlier this year. He worked for him, and he's been able to dramatically increase his tennis syndicate, triple turnover and gross win year on year for the last 3 years. And we had an option in that business. We converted that option, and we have a profit share agreement that we have a 10% profit share of his tennis syndicate, no downside risk in that, and we basically get that as a dividend. So that's our fund, Henry, in a nutshell. We have three pillars. The first pillar is where we get our performance, is where we buy options in the suppliers to the gambling industry. The second pillar is where we park our funds when we don't need to deploy them into the option conversion, and that's a global or a US equity strategy following the best performing funds and putting our proprietary screens on them. And then the third pillar is a dividend play for our investors, which is a profit share agreement in what we believe is the world's best tennis syndicate. And that's how we've outperformed the market. We basically sit there performing in line with the market with pillar two. And then every time an option comes off for us, we get a significant uplift in performance. And obviously we get the dividend that comes from the tennis syndicate, and that's Waterhouse VC. And basically, from my point of view and the team's point of view, our team just spends all our time focusing on pillar one, really just trying to find great suppliers to the gambling industry. We don't go into operators; we only focus on the suppliers, and just focus on finding the greatest suppliers and businesses out there, and trying to find where we can acquire options in them at what we think are a significant value.
So it sounds massively impressive, Tom, I have to say. So how big is the fund itself? How many millions have you got under management?
So it's 62 million of funds under management at the moment. We've obviously given back large chunks. We've had terrific gains over the last 5 years back to our investors. So we distribute at the end of every financial year. But yeah, we've got 62 million of funds under management. We've never looked for funds for the first 4 years of the fund. We never looked to raise money because obviously we didn't need huge amounts of money because we're only converting when the options are really in the money. But we've identified a few deals that do need significantly bigger deals. And so we've just for the first time gone and raised some money, sort of actually gone and looked to raise money. And the reason why we want to raise money is these deals are slightly bigger, but we've also found we've compounded well ahead of the market with no real outsized risk. So we don't have a position in the portfolio over 5% of the fund. And we basically want to make sure that we've got a very diversified, not risking it all on one particular investment. We want to be ultra diversified with our cash, have where we have the big uplift in options, but we're never really taking any big investment in one equity position because we think we can compound long-term in line with the market, basically being diversified across those 13F positions.
I guess with the results that you've produced in the last 5 years since you started, you'd have people beating down the door for you to look after their money, surely.
So we don't have our experiences in the sector. So we have, and you would have seen Henry, our deck, we have many of the leading industry figures that are in our fund because we know them. You know, we know people in the industry. I don't know the financial industry. I know like some people, but I don't know them through the financial industry. So we haven't gone and pitched to like wealth managers or to banks or to any of these type of things because like I've read about those people, but they're not like, I know people in the wagering sector, in the horse racing sector. And, you know, I've spent my whole life, 20 something years in that one particular industry. So it's been very easy for those people to come in, and you know, we've got some of the largest operators in the world, the largest betting syndicates in the world, other funds that are in this sector that have come into our fund. But in terms of the financial world, I'm it's not my area. And also, and I think made the right decision in that really wanting the focus to be for me and the team to focus on basically pillar one of the strategy, finding great businesses. Because, well, if we keep compounding well above market rate, as you say, raising money is not going to be the issue. It's finding great businesses. That's the key bit.
And how many on your team? How many are out there looking for these businesses?
Yeah, so the way it operates is that we have a portfolio manager who's currently in the UK and an analyst in the UK. They do a lot of the grunt work because a lot of the deals we're looking at are in that time zone or US time zone. So they speak to, they might speak to 100 plus businesses, and then they find ones that they think are in our sort of area of skill set and that can do an option deal. Then our head engineer comes in and either meets with them on a call or goes to meet with them. Then once they both like those businesses, then our head of operations and myself join the call. And then if we think that there's the ability to negotiate and buy an option at a decent value, then we get, obviously we have the same legal lawyer that's done all our deals since the beginning of the fund, and then they join as part of the process. But we have, yes, team only or sub 10 people, and the real area of advantage we've got is really our engineers. So I'll give you an example. We had an option to buy an option in a listed vehicle that had a platform that we thought was very interesting a couple of years ago. And our engineer goes, look, I think the team's obviously very professional and very good, but I just, the underlying tech at the value that we're acquiring the option, I don't see the value in it. And I really like the deal personally because I like the team and thought they were ambitious and it was in a listed vehicle. But our engineers looked at the underlying tech and said, look, I don't think the value is there. And then we had a business approach us that wanted us to buy an option in them, some tech built out of Vietnam. And we were like, oh, well, it's just a person that run out of money. It's probably not the kind of deal we would look at. But our head engineer goes, look, the tech is actually unbelievable. For us to build that quality of tech would need a significant team here in Australia and would take 2 years of development time. We did the option for that and was able to do 23 times our investors' money on that one particular deal at platform business. But that was not my expertise at all. It's really our engineers being able to understand whether the tech has got value or not and whether there's real value in it, and are we getting value for what we're acquiring the option for. So our value is understanding the industry and what's needed in the industry, but also being able to have these amazing engineers that I've worked with in the industry for a long period of time now that have got real understanding about what it takes to be successful in the gambling and wagering sector. And that's probably our unique point of difference.
Well, obviously, I mean, gambling and wagering has been around since Adam bet Eve that he couldn't eat the apple. And it's probably, you know, from an outsider like me, it would seem to be such long established and really a very competitive world out there. How do you really find it must be so saturated with deals. I mean, you've got the US that's changing rapidly in terms of their coverage and their regulatory framework with betting. How do you sort the wheat from the chaff? There must be so many guys out there trying to impress with their technology, with their platforms. It must be almost impossible at times.
Yeah, well, it's an amazing industry because it's $1 trillion-plus industry, and you've had in the last 5 years the US open up. So in 2018, PASPA was repealed, and now you've got half the US opened up for sports betting, and six states now having iGaming. So it's a significant change, step change. You had Brazil that just opened up online gambling and passed into law at the beginning of this year. You've got, I think, 140 operators submitting licensing to pay $6 million a year to Brazilian government to start up as regulated operators in Brazil. Looks like Colombia is going to open up. A lot of Eastern Europe is also opening up. So it's a very interesting sector. And it's also, I believe, significantly under-researched, especially in the area that we look at. So we go to all the gaming conferences. I just got back from Brazil last week. I was in New York the week before. We had the big ice gaming conference in London 2 weeks before that. The team go around to all the global gambling conferences and try and back-to-back meetings with suppliers. And there aren't many other investment firms looking at these suppliers. You know, it's under research. There's a lot of people looking at whether a Caesars or MGM are value. or Tabcorp, but not in the suppliers to them. And so it takes a lot of time, but with time and even the 5 years of running the fund, we've got better at identifying where we think a key area is to invest. We've missed some absolute amazing deals. You know, we've turned down deals in terrific businesses. Like we looked at Dabble, which has been an amazing success story, but it's a B2C. We don't focus on it. We looked at that when it was much lower valuation before Tabcorp took a stake. Angstrom, which did a big deal earlier within the last year. We looked at that when it was a much lower valuation. Again, amazing result for them. We're going to miss a stack of great deals, but we're also going to do some really great deals. And we just keep our head down and try and speak to and meet as many possible many businesses possible. And really try and make return in an area that we know really well.
Now, Tom, I have to say, I just thank you so much for your insights and your comments today. It's been really great talking to you. I thank you so much for spending the time with us. I didn't know much about the VC side of things in terms of the Waterhouse VC and the opportunities that are out there, but certainly it does seem, you know, as if your fund will continue to grow with those sorts of impressive results. I saw 2,600% since inception, which is just extraordinary. I mean, really extraordinary. So congratulations, well done, great business, and really interested to see where you take it from here. And thanks again for your time.